From climate change to energy and environmental matters, you're listening to Unleashed with Mark Morano on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome to Unleashed with Mark Morano on TNT, continuing our program. All right, we have warned you on this program about the deep state. And I think all of us were horrified when we realized the full extent of said deep state when Donald Trump came on the national political scene. Whether it's the Steele dossier, the entire fabrication and collusion of the FBI with the media, and getting involved in politics, trying to take down President Donald Trump with outright lies, or whether it was the suppression of the Hunter Biden laptop and the Russian disinformation claims, or whether it was the Twitter files and the collusion between our intelligence agencies and our media outlets. Now we have Tucker Carlson, who was unceremoniously released by Fox News in 2023, telling us the bone-chilling reality of what might be going on and why these politicians who we elect kowtow to the deep state. This is clip one, Tucker Carlson explaining that good old-fashioned blackmail may be a key reason why Republicans and Democrats never stand up to the powers that be, the real powers that be. Clip one.
Members of Congress are terrified of the intel agencies. I'm not guessing at that. They've told me that, including people on the intel committee, including people who run the intel committee, the people whose job it is to oversee and keep in line these enormous secretive agencies whose budgets we can't even know. They're black budgets. They're the parents. The agencies are the children. They're afraid of the agencies. That's not compatible with democracy. Democracy is a really simple system, even representative democracy like ours. The people rule. They do so through elections. They express their preference through voting. They send their people to the capital city to run the government on their behalf. Whenever you have unelected people who are not accountable to anyone making the biggest decisions, you don't have a democracy. You have something else, another system. I would call it a tyranny or whatever you want to call it. It's not a democracy. So that's like super obvious. It's playing out in front of everyone and no one cares and no one does anything about it. And I think the reason is because they're threatened. And if you look at the committee chairmen who allow this shit to happen year after year, they're all, and I don't know, people say, oh, they're compromised or being blackmailed or whatever. I don't have evidence of that, but I know them and they all have things to hide. I know that for a fact. And so it's not a stretch of imagination to imagine that, you know, some committee chairman who's allowing warrantless spying on Americans to continue or whatever abuse they're allowing, knowing fully or hiding the truth about UAPs, ignoring the UAP Disclosure Act of 2023, like, why are they doing that? It's not impossible to imagine that some guy with a drinking problem or a weird sex life, and that's very common up there, that's why they're doing it. Because they don't want to be exposed. I don't have evidence of that. I don't have proof of that.
Right.
But that's not a crazy thing to assume that that could be happening. And I said to somebody, a very powerful person, the other day in a conversation in my kitchen, an elected official holds a really senior position, a very famous person. I was going crazy. I was so mad about all this stuff and about the warrantless spying and about the funding for these insane wars. And I said to the guy who serves in one of the legislative bodies, I got so mad my dogs were afraid. They're like, whoa, why are you yelling? Because I don't yell at home. But I was like, all these people are controlled. They're all, you know, got weird sex lives and all these things are hiding and they're being blackmailed by the intel agencies. And he said, and I'm quoting, I know. I was like, so at this point, we're just sort of admitting that's real? Like, why do we allow that to continue?
This is the world 2024. And everything he said, the next clip I'm about to show you will drive this point home. I don't know that you've seen this clip, but it's literally echoing what Tucker Carlson just laid out of how this deep state, how these intelligence communities can run amok in America with no one to challenge them. Because guess what? When someone who wants to challenge them comes along, what happens to that person? Lies, suppression, and the ultimate, I'm talking about Donald Trump, what they did to him, the lies trying to destroy him. They go after, I love this, the classified document thing. I mean, horse shit. He had classified documents. Oh, we're going to raid his, give me a break. They classify all these documents. It's all about egos and arrogance, and let's classify this and let's classify that. It turns out Pence and Biden had them, and Biden had them in his garage, but we're going to go after Trump. You can get anyone on any technicality. That's the equivalent of following someone for 30 minutes of driving and finding, okay, they didn't come to a complete stop here. They didn't use their turn signal fully there. They crossed over the lane here. They exceeded the speed limit by 3 miles over here. Let's do a 17-point indictment of criminal offense against them. That's what the equivalent of when the deep state, the intelligence agencies, went after Trump for his stupid charge of classified documents at Mar-a-Lago. But we were warned of this. And what they've done to Trump is they've not only just tried to destroy him and bankrupt him, they're going after anyone who worked for him, anyone who's loyal to him, his family, his friends, business associates. This is how they operate. Senator Chuck Schumer of New York, this is a chilling clip. It's said almost lightheartedly, and it's... But as on MSNBC, Chuck Schumer in 2017, warning Trump, if you take on the intelligence community, quote, the intelligence community has six ways from Sunday at getting back to you, unquote, getting back at you. This is Chuck Schumer, one of the most powerful men in Washington, D.C., publicly saying the quiet part out loud. You don't ever challenge the intelligence agencies. Clip two.
But he's taking these shots, this antagonism, yep. This taunting to the intelligence community.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you. So even for a practical, supposedly hard-nosed businessman, he's being really dumb to do this.
What do you think the intelligence community would do if they were motivated?
I don't know, but from what I am told, they are very upset with how he has treated them and talked about them.
Did you see that? He almost realized, holy, did I say that out loud? And in that follow-up last question, he sort of, I don't know, but they're very upset. Like he backed away, like, holy, I can't believe I said that out loud. In fact, let's play this again. Let me set it up one more time. This is significant and important, little-known clip. I've only seen it a couple times. I remembered it in my head, and I was preparing for today's show on TNT here. And I got to find that clip because it goes perfectly with what Tucker just said. And you don't even have to have what Tucker was talking about, the weird sex lives or worry about blackmail or whatever. You could be a completely upright, moral citizen. They can still come after you and they can fabricate and they can lie and they can just mess with you. It doesn't matter. They don't need you to do anything wrong. They don't need to even blackmail you. So let's go back. Let's repeat this. Chuck Schumer warned in 2017, Donald Trump should not challenge the intelligence community because they'll come after you. So let's watch it again. Clip two, Chuck Schumer.
But he's taking these shots, this antagonism, yep. This taunting to the intelligence community.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you. So even for a practical, supposedly hard-nosed businessman, he's being really dumb to do this.
What do you think the intelligence community would do if they were motivated?
I don't know, but from what I am told, they are very upset with how he has treated them and talked about them.
Wow. What we are witnessing right now is the Six Ways to Sunday attack on Donald Trump from our intelligence agencies as his punishment for daring to take them on. As his punishment for daring to take on the entire deep state, the entire DC establishment, the donor class, his whole idea of an America First foreign policy he's being punished for. His whole idea of not accepting the climate narrative he's being punished for. His whole idea of trying to drain the swamp in Washington, Donald Trump's being punished for. His whole idea of trying to withdraw from Afghanistan, he tried for years. Generals wouldn't listen. President can only do so much, certainly in one term, certainly two terms. I mean, the president is very limited. You got to have appointees, advisors. You've got to have orders that are carried out. And the bureaucracy, the unelected bureaucracy, a lot of times they don't like it. They're not going to do it. Okay. Wow. Just incredible. And again, that's a powerful clip. I'd like to keep that handy. I'll probably be showing that again. Every time Donald Trump is under assault, now you know, if you take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Six Ways to Sunday. All right, the next clip, ABC News host, The View host, Joy Behar, claims Trump couldn't care less about his grandchildren. Why? Because he doesn't like offshore wind, and he believes they're killing whales. Let's play clip three, Joy Behar on The View.
Okay, so while President Biden, who cares about his grandchildren,
yes,
is working very hard on this, as you just pointed out, he has record climate investments. Trump, he says he would be a dictator on day one and drill, drill, drill. You know, he couldn't care less about his grandchildren. And he spreads conspiracy theories that wind turbines are killing whales and causing cancer. Here's the problem that makes me nuts. A new Washington Post poll shows that nearly half of Republicans now believe, Trump, that climate change is a hoax. How much more evidence do these people need when they see what goes on with hurricanes, etc.?
Yeah.
How do we convince these people to start believing the truth?
I don't know what to say. First of all, the implication that offshore wind is harming whales is getting pretty overwhelming. It's a major change in addition out in the ocean. All the soundings messing with whales' sonar. They're even now swimming into the face of commercial fishermen traffic because they've been forced out of their usual lanes because offshore wind is much further out than even the boating traffic typically. And there's even U.S. federal wildlife biologists admitting this now. There's a lawsuit, which my organization, with Committee for a Constructive Tomorrow, we're involved in, who runs CFAX Climate Depot, my website. We are tied in with the Heartland Institute and several other organizations in doing a law in federal district court to go after the Biden administration for allowing, violating the Endangered Species Act and allowing takings of these rare whale species. In some cases, the offshore wind is legally allowed to kill more known species of these endangered whale species than are known to even exist. So say 200 whales exist, they're allowed to kill 400. That's not the exact number. But so Joy Behar says he doesn't care about, Donald Trump doesn't care about his grandchildren because he doesn't like offshore wind. Offshore wind is an abomination on the landscape. It requires oil. It requires unbelievable amounts of mining and fossil fuel production to make. There's a whole problem with recycling. And the biggest sin of offshore wind doesn't produce energy worth jack bleep compared to fossil fuels, okay? It's a joke. It's a giant virtue signal blowing windmill out in the sea. And the only reason they exist, make no mistake about it, it's not because they make sense energy-wise. It's not because they're saving the planet. It's because of mandates, subsidies, and restrictions on fossil fuels. And you have something like the Inflation Reduction Act, at last estimate, $1.2 billion, decades into the future. You're going to have nothing but offshore wind, solar farms. They're just going to keep cranking them up. It doesn't matter if they make money, and they keep going bankrupt too, but it doesn't matter. Sometimes the same board of directors of these companies can just reorganize, start a new one, take the next federal big, you know, billions in grant for that one, and then blow it up, make no money, go on to the next, make no money, make no energy and wind, and then reorganize, suck in some more money. Meanwhile, the board members and the investors are sucking down the taxpayer teeth. It's the biggest scam going. And the last thing she said, Joy Behar of The View, is about the hurricane. Look at the hurricanes. How do we convince people the truth? What is she effing talking about? 1940s were the most active cycle, but no trends in hurricanes or declining trends in 50, 100 years. The same is true with, you know, obviously global hurricane activity, but that includes typhoons. Same is true of every single extreme weather, hurricanes, wildfires, floods, tornadoes, droughts. It's just insane. Even the UN admits it. I just don't understand how you don't ever see these people in a debate. It's just nuts. Anyway, all right, moving along. This is funny. The Green Party had a meeting and they had Just Stop Oil. Again, these are the people funded by Hollywood directors and Hollywood millionaires, our ruling class, billionaire foundations. It's just what the ruling class establishment wants them to say, these deluded fools from Just Stop Oil. But this time they turned their attacks on the Green Party and they were ejected by the Green Party. So the climate activists rejecting climate activists. Let's play clip four. Take a watch.
Are we really standing here talking about electric cars and marketing like new social media platforms? Like, it's ridiculous. We need radical change, and we need it right now. Yeah. So if you agree with me, go to justofoil.org/donate. That's justofoil.org/donate. We need radical action. We need radical change, and we need to do it right now.
This will be the summit of our most radical action yet, and it's essential that we get the support of the general public so we can continue to do this work so that we can see real change happen.
We can see real change happen. We'll go to the Green Party and protest. The Green Party tosses them out. Again, it's just amazing to me, the hypocrisy, first of all. The Green Party should be welcoming this message. This is their radical roots, right? Secondly, these young activists actually believe that we're against the establishment. We're fighting it. You're being funded by Hollywood and the Gates and the Getty families and Rockefellers. Oh, you're really anti-establishment. You're what a rebel you are. Are you an idiot? All right. Clip six, Bill Gates. I love this. He's admitting he has one of the highest greenhouse gas footprints of anyone on the planet. Yeah, that's true, Bill. And his personal flying, but he buys offsets. Let's watch clip six, Bill Gates.
Are you the right messenger on this? Because you fly private planes a lot and you're creating a lot of greenhouse gases yourself.
Yeah, I probably have one of the highest greenhouse gas footprints of anyone on the planet. You know, my
kind of ironic.
Personal flying alone is gigantic.
And there you have it. He goes on to say that, you know, he does carbon offsets and also his work is so important. He's the one investing in the lab-grown meat. He's buying up a U.S. farmland, the single largest farmland owner. He's investing billions at Harvard to inject chemicals in the sky, to block the sunlight, to cool the planet. He's involved in the Great Reset and the World Economic Forum and the UN. And he's involved in the World Health Organization, which is merging climate change as a public health. He's doing so much good. Just let him have his little big giant carbon footprint in his private jets, because he's the guy you want fighting for us. There's no one in the world doing so. He's just like saving the planet. If anyone was doing it single-handedly, even more than John Kerry and his daughter, Vanessa, it's Bill Gates. So we'll give him a pass. All right. Switching gears, final clip of today. This, you know, unbelievable. You can walk in any retail store now in these woke cities with the Soros prosecutors who don't believe in prosecuting shoplifting or any crimes of under a few thousand dollars. You can steal $949 worth of merchandise and you're fine. And just anecdotally, I went to San Jose, California for Major Speech 2019 for my book, Politically Incorrect Guide to Climate Change. Spoke to like 200 people, maybe 300. Beautiful city, very uber wealthy. This was the tech corridor, this was Silicon Valley, everything. Everything was beautiful. I go back in 2022, same group, huge crowd again, this time speaking on the Great Reset. C-SPAN carried my speech live. City had completely changed. The nicest restaurants, they had signs of don't leave valuables in your car. People would literally leave their car unlocked with windows down, trunks open, because people would just break in the car and destroy them. And that's what the Soros prosecutor, that's what defund the police did to these cities. My hotel, which was in a Tony wealthy suburb right outside the city, had, in all the hotels around, had actual steel gates open and closing. The lobby doors were locked. You couldn't just walk in a hotel lobby, all because crime from defund the police, Soros prosecutor. But anyway, here's the next clip, final clip. You can walk in there and steal $949 worth of merchandise. This is what they've done to America to create chaos, to support the Great Reset. Clip five.
You can literally walk into a retail store every single day of the year and steal $949 worth of merchandise, and you will never do a minute in jail.
Is it a day or is it per incident?
You can go back.
So you can steal $949 and walk out of that store and go back in and do it again.
Yes. No compounding consequence. The voters, I believe, were duped because the summary and title said it was the Safe Neighborhoods and Safe Schools Act. So that's all a person looks at. If you get that sample ballot and you see in this Proposition 47, the Safe Neighborhoods and Schools Act, I'm voting for that. Under California law, ironically, rape of the unconscious is not a violent crime. Assault on a peace officer with anything other than a fully automatic weapon is not a violent crime.
Wow.
Domestic violence with the word violence right in the crime title is not a violent crime. So we really truly need some truth and justice in the state of California.
Now, do you have any hopes for the future of California?
I do. The information that's been shared as a result of this effort to fix Proposition 47, I think, has gone a long way to open the eyes and the ears and the minds of California voters, and I hope it stays. The mayors of these blue cities have come out in support of the initiative to fix Proposition 47. So it's not a right-wing initiative by any stretch of the imagination.
God bless his efforts. Let's hope there's hope for these cities. By the way, as a footnote, I just got back from San Diego last week, speaking at Turning Point USA, and San Diego wowed me. Didn't see graffiti, homeless, drug addiction, parks, all that. I'm sure they have it. I talked to cab drivers. I said there's a few sections, but the city was not like LA, San Francisco, San Jose. And the reason? They said they had had a Republican town council, a Republican mayor up until very recently, just a couple years ago, and they don't have a Soros prosecutor. How about that? Now, I said, well, so what does that mean now that you have a Democrat mayor, Democrat town council? And they said, well, we're still running on the vapors of the old Republicans that were in charge. Still a beautiful place. Let's hope they don't destroy San Diego. They don't have the Soros prosecutor. So we'll see. But, you know, the way California is going with the exodus of conservatives, it's possible they will. I hate to see a city like San Diego be destroyed. But let's hope these efforts that you I just played for you there in California are working, and that they can actually restore this once great state. I mean, it was the state that elected Ronald Reagan governor, even up until the late 90s. I remember Bob Dornan, who's still alive, by the way. I think he's 92 or 91. He was a congressman from Orange County, California. And eventually he got, eventually he got the whole district changed as California became more liberal, wealthy suburb. Now Los Angeles, Orange County became very liberal. And you know, no Republican could win there now. At least no conservative Republican. And he got replaced by Loretta Sanchez, I believe her name was. That was way back in the late 90s. That's when things really began to change politically in California, when you couldn't really have, the aforementioned in the last hour, we mentioned Arnold Schwarzenegger. He was elected. He was elected mostly on his celebrity and fame. And he had connections to Republicans, but he also had connections to the Kennedy family. He's married to Marie Schreiber at the time. And he ended up, I would just say he didn't do very much at all, but he did the first California historic climate bill, which everyone's like, oh, that's so great. Arnold's a climate hero. Nothing he did affected California until many years later in terms of the energy disaster that hit and all that. But he got praised because he got the virtue signal, but with no effect for many years into the future. And he billed himself as a Milton Friedman conservative and then didn't govern that way. And Arnold caught up in a lot of different things. He was commuting via daily private jet from his celebrity mansion to the governor's mansion. Now, very few people is a step down in life to go from your private home to the governor's mansion. But for Arnold Schwarzenegger, it's probably a major step down. Go to some public housing. I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger. I have my own multiple homes and beautiful estates. I'll just fly my private jet to work, which is fine, except for one little problem. And we had this in the film Climate Hustle. Arnold urged Californians, in order to lower their carbon footprint, while he was commuting by private jet every day to the governor's mansion, he urged them to air dry their clothes instead of using their dryer in order to save energy and lower their carbon footprints to fight global warming. That didn't seem like that would go over too well, although I don't think Californians cared. And Arnold, the media obviously didn't scrutinize it. It was left to a few people like myself and a few other climate studies to point out his disgusting hypocrisy. And as aforementioned, Arnold Schwarzenegger said, screw your freedom. And by the way, that was the last Republican ever elected in California statewide. I shouldn't say that because I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure he's the last statewide Republican. And that's the kind of Republican they would elect. Someone who says, screw your freedom about COVID lockdowns if you're worried about it, if you're fighting it. And someone who's all into the climate change agenda and hypocrisy and a Hollywood celebrity worth zillions of dollars. In other words, it's not hospitable to conservatives. All right. This is Unleashed with Mark Morano on TNT. When we come back, we're going to have Kate Monroe, former U.S. Marine, veterans advocate, business owner. She's going to be talking about the border crisis, illegal immigration, and we have some great video to show you. This is Unleashed with Mark Morano on TNT. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages.
TNT's Kate Shimarani.
And I got this one thing, and I thought, oh, it's because I'm a woman. No, there was a bloke came behind me with one thing, and they went, please, go ahead of us. And I said, fellas, this is fabulous. I just don't see people do this anymore. And they weren't British. I said, where are you from? And one of them said, we're from Albania. He said, we're not criminals. We're just people, we work. But people say such bad things about us. Please, we're not bad. And I said, well, listen, I don't look at you and think you're a criminal because your accent. I said, do I look like a criminal? They went, no. I went, well, I am. Convicted. And I said, by most of the criminals in their uniforms working for the government, the tyrannical government.
Kate Shimarani on today's News Talk, TNT.
In a democracy, the majority vote rules. But in most democracies, you can only vote for change every 3 or 4 years. To understand what people want, governments and political parties use focus groups. These focus groups can include as little as 20 people. Australia is a country of over 25 million people. Does making decisions based on 20 people sound fair to you? Have your say. Be heard in between elections. Download the For My Say app now. That is number 4, My Say.
Are you ready to help your family get prepared for the unexpected?
Here we go!
Ladybug and Cat Noir know how important it is to be ready. Because you never know when Hawk Moth is going to strike, or a disaster will hit. And you don't need miraculous powers. Just put those planning skills you already have to good use. Make a plan that will help you and your family be ready when emergencies happen. Ready Kids can help. Get started at ready.gov/kids.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies. Because when people are fed, futures are nourished. Everyone deserves to live a full life. And with your help, together we can end hunger. Join the movement at feedingamerica.org/act now.
Listen up!
Now listen, we gotta talk.
It's what we do best.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to Unleashed with Mark Morano on TNT. All right, joining the program now is Kate Monroe, former U.S. Marine, veteran advocate, business owner, former U.S. congressional candidate in California. And she's here today to talk about illegal immigration and our border crisis at the southern border. Welcome to the program, Kate.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, and you're from San Diego, California. I was just telling you in the break, I was there last week speaking at Turning Point USA about the Great Reset, about climate change, about our energy restrictions, about how they want to create chaos in America in order to increase authoritarian control and concentrate their power. What better way to create chaos than having an invasion at our southern border? Tell us a little bit about the work you've been doing and how you got involved in this issue.
Well, you know, in running for Congress, I realized the number one issue on voters' minds was the border. And being here in San Diego, we have a completely wide open border. No matter what anyone says, it's absolutely open. And so I went down to go see the state of affairs at the border. And I said, you know what? Instead of just saying, hey, the border's open and running on that platform, I said, I'm going to go to Amazon. I'm going to get some razor wire and go down there and see if I can secure one of the holes, which is exactly what I did. And that sparked the Border Vets movement. I've taken, you know, 10 or 20 veterans down. We've secured 3 places at the border. It's just amazing work.
Wow. And so you're in San Diego. So in San Diego, how bad has that been affected, first of all, by the illegal immigration crisis? Is San Diego a different city than it was 5-10 years ago? How would you rate it today?
Well, San Diego is actually plagued by both the border migrant crisis as well as homeless. We have a ton of homeless in San Diego. And when the migrant shelters shut down, you saw tons of migrants added to the homeless population here in San Diego. But I think what it has done is scared people that live here. You have migrants sleeping on their property. breaking into their homes, taking spots in ER hospital beds. They're using it like general everyday healthcare, our hospitals. So it's definitely put a damper on the everyday life of our citizens here in San Diego County.
And by the way, I was just saying in the last segment, having been in San Diego last week, I had been to other places like LA, San Francisco, San Jose in particular, before and after sort of the defund the police movement. But it seems like San Diego is faring much better, at least in terms of crime, homeless, Soros prosecutors, shoplifting, than the other California cities. And someone had told me that's because Republicans had run it up until very recently. So is San Diego still benefiting from the vapors of past, at least logical elections, logical officials?
Yeah, I think it's benefiting from the very tiny vapor trail that's left. I mean, a lot of San Diego has been replaced with the left agenda for sure down in San Diego. But if you look at like Del Mar, maybe north, you cut San Diego in half, the north part of San Diego is still very Republican.
Okay. Yeah. I was in like the Mission Bay area and I went to downtown. I was still just, it was much better. It wasn't the same experience I had, you know, walking around other California cities where people leave their car trunks open and their windows down and the doors unlocked because they don't want their car broken because there's no, you know, the Soros prosecutors make it. So they will not prosecute any crimes under what, $1,000 or $949.
Oh, they don't prosecute crime here in San Diego. I know a lot of people that work in retail and they walk out with $900 worth of stuff every single day it happens. So we don't really prosecute crime here either. We just don't have as much of it.
Just don't have as much. Okay. All right. So I'm going to play this video. This is the video of you at the border, I guess, with a mainstream corporate reporter. Let's play this about a minute of this, and then you can tell us a little bit about it. Let's roll the videotape of Kate Monroe at the border trying to show the mainstream media what's going on.
Aren't you, in effect, breaking the law when you put razor wire up on federal property and build your own wall?
Kate Monroe from VetCom took a CBS San Diego reporter to the border to show him the work she and the border vets had done to secure open areas with razor wire.
As you can see, all of the wire is still up, and it's been a couple of months, so I feel like we did a pretty good job stopping people here. 100 to 200 people a day were coming through this one spot.
Whether it's legal or not is not clear. Border Patrol didn't know and allowed the vets to put the wire up. But that didn't stop the reporter from pushing his agenda.
Isn't that against the law?
Well, the federal government's breaking the law by allowing the onslaught of migrants to come into our country from countries all around the world. We have people coming across that we have found that are on the terror watch.
Kate showed the reporter an area that was completely open, where hundreds of migrants had been crossing daily.
Clothing.
They then went to speak with those migrants who spoke about the horrors they experienced in trying to get here.
All right, we're talking with Kate Monroe, the fighting illegal immigration on the California, I guess it's California, Mexico border and other places. So tell us, what was that? What was the behind the scenes? Who was that reporter that was talking to you there? And what was that whole scene about?
That was a CBS 8 local reporter here in San Diego. And it's so funny. It's one of the few times that I didn't have the media set up for me. A friend of mine said, hey, CBS wants to take you out. And it was kind of a last minute thing. And I wish I hadn't done it in some regard because they're just trying to do a hit piece on me. But what they didn't take into account is that I was going to film them. So that footage we just watched was our footage, because they like to create a narrative of falsehoods that they hope that the American people will consume unknowingly. And so we wanted to make sure that we caught what their actual agenda was. You didn't hear the guy ask one question about America. They are only concerned with their liberal agenda. So I still feel good about going down to the border that day, but it's just amazing the chasm between the left and right media.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you did the exact right thing. You filmed them. I don't know if you ever saw the final segment, but they, knowing that you filmed them, they either can the whole segment or they'll have to behave much better. And that's one of the ways to keep them in check when they do that.
That's what we like to do. We like to check them.
Yeah. So when you see that situation like that at the border with the holes there, and how do we resolve this? What can we really do? I mean, Donald Trump had it down. He didn't get to build, he built some of the wall, but he never got to finish, obviously, and met huge resistance with even from Republicans at the time for funding. If he gets re-election, it seems like the Congress would be, even Democrats now, would be willing to fund a wall. Are you optimistic? Tell us what you think the direct reforms are that we can stop this invasion at our border. And also, I'll ask the second part later, but go ahead, answer that first question. What can we really do? What's the immediate steps we need to take?
So what I ran on when I was running here for Congress, I was running on solutions. So you can't just say the border's open, like, what are we going to do? The first thing we have to do, we have to stop inviting people here. We are inviting people here. We do an amazing marketing campaign to the rest of the world. We're on our news media every day, like, hey, get to New York. You got 10 grand. Hey, you're going to get housing and free tchotchkes and everything. We have to stop telling the rest of the world to come here illegally. So we have to stop saying that. We do need to finish the wall. We need to reform immigration, because what we say is that we want workforce housing. Should the workers who come here have to get robbed 5 times on their journey? Should they get raped? Should they be sex trafficked? Should they bring drugs in? Is that part of what we need as a workforce? Then we need to build workforce housing. I think those are the main things that we need to do. But if you look at a city like San Diego, you might have known recently, boats are making their way onto our beaches, where 15 or 20 illegal immigrants are getting out and running and getting into cars in a coordinated effort. So the wall wouldn't stop them, right? The thing is, the last piece is there's no repercussions. There's no repercussions for breaking and entering. If you break and enter into our country, you should never be able to get legal citizenship. Those are my feelings.
Yeah, so when people end up coming here, we're seeing first reports that these aren't what people expect. These aren't the immigrants you're expecting. They're not necessarily Mexicans and not even Central Americans. Many are coming from the Middle East. Many are coming from all over the world. The cartels are buying passage for people, bringing them in. How much of a national security threat have you witnessed? In other words, you know, terrorists, infiltrators, anyone, you know, other than the desperate, the image of the media is these are just poor, desperate people from Central America, South America. Is that the case, or is there something much more sinister going on?
I would say about 30% of people are coming here from Latin America or from poorer countries, really trying to do better for their families. And I can understand, if I was poor and desperate, I'd want to come here too, especially if people were advertising. So it's not a compassion thing. But what I have found, I have a box full of passports from China, Afghanistan, Ecuador, Colombia, like places all over the world. And some of these places have a lot of enmity between their country and our country. There's been, I would say, 7 out of the 10 times I've gone down, all of the people getting vetted by border are younger than 30, all of them male. So this narrative where everybody's a cute little precious family just isn't the case. And I, being a Marine Corps intelligence analyst in my past, can tell you that the national security risk is very high. I mean, look at this young woman, Laken Riley, who lost her life. Not only did we let this man in, we caught and released him multiple times. So he break and enter, he came into our country, we caught him, released him, and then he murdered one of our children. People are bringing drugs across. There's we've found multiple terrorists, all the ones we caught and stopped. What about the ones we didn't catch and stop? Because we don't catch and stop them. Everybody who leaves their passport on the other side of the wall, there's a reason why they're leaving their identity behind, because they know that if we vet them and figure out who they are, we will capture them.
Well, you know, I still remember, I guess it was Governor DeSantis. I thought it was the most brilliant thing he did was when I guess they were from Venezuela. He brought the Venezuela migrants and flew them to Martha's Vineyard. I really think that was a turning point in waking up the public's imagination, because we saw what happens. That was what do they call them? Sanctuary city, I believe, Martha's Vineyard was. It's easy to be a sanctuary city when you have no immigrants coming in, right? It's right. Illegal immigrants. So of course they brought them in, and within 24 hours, they sent them out with the National Guard. They literally booted them out, and they gave them what you can only be described as bulk processed food from cans. They didn't get any of the champagne, the caviar, and Martha's Vineyards. They stayed, they were invited to a little reception, and you saw the food. It was like bulk bags of cereal, canned goods. They did not treat them well. And it was really exposed, I think, at least for a lot of conservatives, like, wow, this is really mega hypocrisy. Yeah. You know, when these immigrants come, what should happen to them? I mean, we see, like, whether it's church services, Catholic charities, other social left-wing groups, they come up and they get in buses, they take them immediately away. They're trying to house them with taxpayer dollars. that's what's happening. What should happen when you gather them? Should we just immediately deport them? And how would deportation look? Do you just drop them like right on the other side of that fence we just saw in the video with you? Or is there another way? What do you think should happen when they cross the border illegally?
Well, I think the first thing is we need to stop them from crossing illegally, right? Just fix that part.
Right.
But once they cross, we need to sort and deport those who have no business being in our country. There are certain people that can get asylum in our country. There are certain people that qualify, I would say less than 10%. Those people, we need to get them on the road to asylum. But if, again, like I said, if we really need a workforce, we need to build workforce housing down by the borders and stop advertising for people to come in illegally. We need to get a path for them to come in, live and work out of that workforce housing while we assimilate them into our culture, while we put their kids in schools where they can learn English. Because what's happening is the Latina and the Black communities, especially like in New York, they are getting so sidelined and shoved down by having all these migrant kids mixed in the lot with their kids that don't speak a lick of English. I mean, I think those are some big things that we can do, but the will of the government to put money toward that is about a 0 out of 10, in my opinion.
Wow. All right. We're talking with Kate Moreau, former U.S. Marine, a veteran advocate for business owner, and we're talking about the illegal immigration and the border crisis. We have to take a break. We'll be right back with Kate Moreau. This is Unleashed on TNT with Mark Morano. Stay tuned.
People might tell you that Lyme doesn't kill people, but we are losing people. People disappear from their lives.
One of the scariest things that I had to deal with was memory loss. Not just like I don't remember what I did last week, but like I forgot all the words to my own songs. I remember going to my primary care physician and he was like, "You are 100% healthy. There's nothing wrong with you." And my response was, "That's impossible. I'm dying."
I wasn't working. So I had all of these hospital bills. We had to move out of our home and move into my parents' basement.
I just wish I could have truly been present in those big moments, you know, when she took her first steps or, you know, her first day of preschool. Lyme is such a thief and it goes undetected because no one is looking for it.
For more information and prevention tips, go to projectlyme.org.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies. Because when people are fed, futures are nourished. Everyone deserves to live a full life. And with your help, together we can end hunger. Join the movement at feedingamerica.org/act now.
Exposing the motives and agenda of the world's most powerful.
Unleashed.
This is Unleashed with Mark Morano on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to Unleashed with Mark Morano on TNT. We're talking with former U.S. Marine Kate Moreau, veterans advocate and also a former congressional candidate in California. And she is fighting the battle of illegal immigration. Okay, a couple things here. In the video, we have Turkish migrants paying a cartel over $6,000 to cross the border to work for DoorDash. Is DoorDash involved in this kind of a scheme? And how elaborate is this illegal immigration scheme coming to America?
Well, I'm not going to say because I don't know for a fact if DoorDash is directly involved, but I will tell you that he was very certain what he was coming here to do. He was going to drive for DoorDash. And after I looked into it, it turns out what happens is our citizens get cars and their licenses, and then people drive falsely underneath another person's license is what happens. Because once I posted this, Fox Digital did a huge piece about it. They went down to the border with me and tons of people, like 400 people wrote in. Yeah, that's interesting because somebody drove me. It wasn't the person in the app. Somebody delivered food to my house. It wasn't the person in the app. So I think DoorDash, Uber, Lyft, they really need to take a deep dive into their infrastructure and see, are we letting non-citizens who don't speak English, don't have driver's license, drive food to doors, drive our kids around? That is absolutely happening. And it's amazing that the story didn't get more coverage, but it probably didn't because those big companies paid a lot of money, I'm sure, to suppress that story.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why people should always check the credentials. All right, You also have dozens of migrants rushing past California beachgoers, sitting in the sandy beach. Speedboat comes ashore and releases illegal immigrants. How often is this happening? And how could they be so brazen about it? Is there just no they believe there's no chance they'll ever get caught? Is that correct? Okay. Is she there? Okay. We're talking with Kate Monroe, a former Marine and veterans advocate, also at the border. We're waiting to reconnect her here. I was just asking her about, having just been to San Diego. Apparently, migrant boats are showing up, dropping off illegal immigrants on the water at the beach as they exit, as beachgoers are laying there in sandy beach towels. It's an incredible story. And as I was telling to her earlier, I really think it caught not only the public's imagination, but also the hypocrisy of this whole illegal immigration crisis when that whole Governor DeSantis, along with Governor Abbott of Texas, coordinated. I guess they're from Argentina. They got the migrants from there, flew a plane, had it chartered, landed in Martha's Vineyard. I just can't tell you how profound the effect of that, to watch that liberal enclave in Martha's Vineyard deal with the home of President Obama, the home of all the wealthy celebrities and politicians, and I think Bill and Hillary Clinton and many others, to deal with them. They allegedly, we welcome them with open arms. And then at the same time, here's the door. Don't let it hit you where the Lord split you. And they threw them out. I think that really showed up a lot and really garnered for the first time. I know it had a huge impact on me and many people I know in a lot of conservative circles that really woke them up to this issue. It was no longer a border crisis anymore. And to see the way the Martha's Vineyard liberals handle it was quite a fantastic display of hypocrisy that you will ever see. And I remember watching, it was Tucker Carlson at the time on Fox News, pointing out all the processed food. It looked like they went bulk buying at Costco, like something you'd keep in your basement. And that's what they were feeding them. And they were trying to show how generous these wealthy, wealthy liberals were at Martha's Vineyard, feeding these poor migrants who they were just about to send away with the Massachusetts National Guard. Sent them off to a detention camp, by the way, a virtual prison, not quite a prison, but within hours of their arrival, but not without giving them some good bulk food, cheap processed crap that they would never eat themselves except for storage and bulk storage. And it was amazing because they weren't getting the caviar. They weren't getting any of the champagne. They weren't getting any of the quality seafood that Martha's Vineyard is famous for. What they were getting is the boot as fast as possible, swiftly removed from there. And I know Donald Trump ran on building a wall, making Mexico pay for it. Of course, that didn't quite work out. He did secure the border to the extent of many previous presidents, probably the most secure border in modern times. Didn't get to build the wall, or didn't get to build a lot of it, and he didn't get funding or cooperation from Republican Congress. So I believe next time around, if Donald Trump miraculously gets elected, and I've already predicted, I don't think he will be elected because the powers that be won't let him. And all you have to do is go back to the Chuck Schumer quote. In fact, let's show that Chuck Schumer quote. Let's go back and show that from hour one. Chuck Schumer on why Donald Trump should not be attacking the deep state. And of course, you're attacking illegal immigration. This is what the deep state wants, by the way. One of the theories on this is that the unbridled immigration is another way to crush the working class, middle class. Ultimately, you're flooding our market with cheap labor, which is going to hurt America, blue collar workers, the idea of American home ownership, car ownership. It's going to create more unemployment, more depression, and more dependency upon the government. We have now workers who would otherwise be employed are going to find universal basic income much, much more attractive. And the only way to really reverse this at the moment with anything is Donald Trump. Let's go back to hour two, clip two, Chuck Schumer on probably why Donald Trump, no matter what, is not going to be allowed to be reelected. The powers that be, it won't necessarily be the same election fraud as last time. They'll find a new way. They have a million resources. Chuck Schumer warning why Donald Trump can't win, or why Donald Trump should watch his back when he goes after intelligence agencies.
But he's taking these shots, this antagonism, yep. this taunting to the intelligence community.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you. So even for a practical, supposedly hard-nosed businessman, he's being really dumb to do this.
What do you think the intelligence community would do if they were motivated?
I don't know, but from what I am told, they are very upset with how he has treated them and talked about them.
All right, we're back. That was Chuck Schumer. Kate, we're back with Kate Monroe, the former congressional candidate, now fighting the battle at the border, the stem the flow. That was Chuck Schumer, basically. I was just saying during the break here that Donald Trump's obviously the best hope to resecure this border. And one of the forces fighting him is what Chuck Schumer just laid out in that tape, that the intelligence agencies have six ways to Sunday to destroy you if you challenge them, if you challenge the edicts of that. So what's your comment on that? Is you think Donald Trump's presidency, do you think he will be allowed to win by the deep state? Or are they going to find, as Chuck Schumer just said, six ways to Sunday to crush and destroy him, to prevent him? And one of the things they'll prevent him from doing is securing the border.
Well, I think the fact that someone is so brazen to say that we will do it, basically whatever it takes to stop him, that's the issue. I mean, the fact that you can even play that live, that somebody that's an elected official can even say that, and we go, oh, that's just America now. That in and of itself is crazy. That should tell the American people everything they need to know about making sure you go vote. In fact, if you could vote twice, you need to get out and vote twice. Every single person that can vote for Donald Trump, we need to get it done, because I'm not an election denier, but the math of the last election didn't really math so well. I mean, I think I can do like boop, 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 like finger math. Yeah. And so I'm really hoping that they got caught in that enough last time that they don't try it again this time, because without Donald Trump getting in, there's going to be three world wars and an open border inevitably.
Yes. And so how would you describe the border under President Trump? I mean, he didn't get a lot of the wall built, but I think it's the most secure border we've had in decades during his presidency. Is that accurate? And what was the key policy that he had that President Biden reversed when he first came in?
Well, Biden reversed everything that Trump has done, you know, including everything he did on the border. But I think the stay in Mexico, you know, thing, by reversing that, nobody had to stay there. They could just immediately walk across. I mean, the real reason the left is doing this is for Democrat supremacy in the 2030 census. At all costs, they will shove as many people as they can into these districts, even if it's at the detriment of the American citizens that live in those districts. I mean, they have gone out of their way to do everything from the border to shut off our ability to produce oil at the pipelines, like every way in which they could decimate our economy and the American public, they will go out of their way to do it. So I really feel like without getting Trump back in, I'm not going to say hope is lost, but it's not going to be quite as bright.
All right, now let's talk about California. You ran for Congress in California. Now, I'm not a Californian, never lived there, only visited there, but it just seems, I was tracing it back. I was talking about Congressman Bob Dornan. He lost his seat in Orange County. It was a 1996 or 98 election. California has really changed in the last 25 years, not for the better. What hope do you hold out for California? In other words, can Republican ever win statewide office again? I was pointing out earlier that only Arnold Schwarzenegger was the last Republican, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, to win statewide office. And he's the guy that said, screw your freedom during COVID. He's all in on the climate agenda. He basically lied and said he was a Milton Friedman libertarian when he was running, and he didn't govern that way. I mean, he was a hypocrite. He flew a private jet to the governor's mansion from his home daily, and then he told people to air dry their clothes. He seems to be the only type of Republican that could ever win in California. Why did you run for office? Why do you hold out hope? And do you hold out hope for California politically?
Well, I ran in a D+3 area. I had a very, if I had been the victor running against Levin, I believe that I would have won, because I'm a firebrand person. I'm a good speaker. I'm a get out and get SHIT done kind of lady, Marine Corvette. I think that I would have done really good against Levin. So I actually thought that I could be the victor there. I do not believe that California will see a Republican president or governor, but I do think that we will flip some congressional districts and some state and Senate seats. I do think that some of that will happen, because people's perception of California is that the whole state is blue, when in reality, the large metropolis areas are blue, but the rest of the state is red. So I don't think it takes that much to flip a district. Like, I actually think if I help Matt Gunderson, that we have a good chance of flipping California's 49th district, for instance.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Kate Monroe, former U.S. Marine and fighting now the battle at the border for illegal immigration. Thank you for joining TNT today. Appreciate it. Thank you.
We're moving into a new office today, so sorry about that.
No problem. We appreciate it, though. Thank you for joining us. This has been Unleashed with Mark Morano on TNT. See you next time.